Killer Energy and Shocking Electricity, Two Horrible Books in One, by Nick Arnold and Tony DeSalf. It's electric, Miss. Horrible Science. Killer Energy. Introduction. I hope you're not easily scared because you're about to meet a huge, horribly powerful monster. It's a very, very old monster. Yes, it's even older than your science teacher. In fact, it's so incredibly ancient that it's as old as time itself. And the amazing thing about this monster is that it's always around, but no one has ever seen it. Well, not until now, that is. The monster's name is Energy. The Energy Monster gets everywhere. It makes stars shine and bonfires burn, and it moves everything from the slowest slug to the speediest spacecraft. But don't go thinking that the Energy Monster is a helpful giant, gentle giant. No way. Take a deep breath and read on, if you dare. Sometimes the Energy Monster is a cruel, crazed killer that destroys humans in hundreds of horrible ways. Of course, ordinary science books don't dwell on these disgusting details, but this is a horrible science book, and that means you can find out the things you really want to know. Arg! How killer energy makes people catch fire when they fart. Yuck. Why this man is eating greasy fat for breakfast. Glug. Why this scientist is making rats drunk. Plus, the ultimate fate of the universe, and whether it'll spoil your holiday this year. Horrible health warning. This book contains foul facts, rude words, and bloodthirsty cartoons. This material may shock teachers and other sensitive persons. Hopefully, though, you're made of sterner stuff. Now, have you got enough energy to turn the page? Well, okay then. The ultimate power. Is your brain powered up? Well, this killer question will get it going so fast that steam could blast out of your ears. Ready? Okay, here it is. What do the following have in common? A volcano that's just about to explode, a banana, a can of petrol, and a huge wobbling stomach. Give up? Well, they all store energy. The volcano stores heat and movement energy. When a volcano explodes, you'll need lots of movement energy to get out of the way. Bananas are great energy stores, which is why some tennis players eat at least 6 every match. Petrol is a fuel, so it's fuel of energy, and the bulging belly contains fat, which is yet another food energy store. Now, at this point, we were going to ask a teacher to tell us what energy is, but we couldn't find one who knew. See what I mean? I don't know. I haven't a clue. Come again. Search me. Honestly, do I have to explain everything around here? Killer energy file. Name, energy. The basic facts? 1. Energy is the power that gets things moving. Since everything in the universe is moving, everything in the universe is powered by energy. 2. The word energy isn't too helpful. It just means activity in Greek. It's all Greek to me. 3. Energy takes many forms. Stored energy in fuel and food and other chemicals. Energy stored in here. Coal. Potential energy can be used in the future. Rock will have energy to roll down in the future. Movement energy. Let's hope the human has lots of movement energy. Heat energy. Heat is a common type of energy. And sound, light, electricity, and magnetism are all types of energy too. Told you the energy monster gets everywhere. Killer details. Every execution method uses energy in one form or another. As you can see, killer blade has potential energy to fall at any second. With me so far? So energy gets things moving and takes different forms. But someone had to figure this out. As you can imagine, scientists in the past had some really wrong ideas about energy. Here are 4 scientists to argue their points of view. The Great Energy Debate. Famous Greek philosopher Aristotle, 384 to 322 BC. Not so famous Greek philosopher Anaxagoras, 500 to 428 BC. German scientist George Ernest Stahl, 1660 to 1734. German scientist, philosopher, mathematician, historian, and all-round know-all, Gottfried Leibniz, 1636 to 1716. Things have the energy to move because they are guided by a great unseen mind called the nous. That's rubbish. An invisible substance called pneuma makes things move. Well, I can't see it. That's because it's invisible, dimwit. Grrr. You're both wrong. Living things move because they have the spirit of life inside them. Actually, everything contains a living force, and that's why everything moves. You know what? It's a moving thought. These ideas were as sensible as attacking a lion's mane with a razor, running 5 miles to escape, and then shouting, "How's that for a close shave?" It took scientists until the 1850s for a number of them working separately to begin to make scientific sense of energy, and then they came up with the laws of thermodynamics. And if you thought I said thermal underwear, you'll need to read the next chapter to find out what the heck I'm going on about. Laws of thermodynamics. Laying Down the Laws. In this chapter, you'll find out about the laws of thermodynamics. They sound dead posh and impressive, but actually they're horribly easy to understand. Don't tell anyone how easy, and with luck, your friends will think you are a scientific genius. Killer Energy File. Name, the laws of thermodynamics. The basic facts, 1. Thermodynamics means moving heat. The laws tell you what heat energy does and how it links up with other forms of energy. Ha 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 ha! 2. By the way, when a scientist talks about laws, they don't mean rules like, please don't chew your teacher's leg in science lessons. They mean scientific explanations proven by lots of experiments. 3. Try to break the laws of thermodynamics and you'll find, A. It's impossible. B. You'll be laughed at by a heartless gang of scientists who knew it was impossible but didn't learn any because they wanted to actually make a fool of yourself. Ha 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 ha. Killer details. The search for these laws drove one scientist into madness. Let's hope you're more fortunate. Thermodynamic! Don't panic! Rave! Jibber! So what do the laws say? Meet Harvey Tucker, the biggest journalist in Australia. Well, he's certainly the largest and the laziest. G'day, sports. Later on, he'll be investigating energy. That's if he can be bothered. But for now, we've managed to persuade Harvey to report on how the laws work. The laws of thermodynamics. Well, I wasn't too hot on thermo, heat energy, but no worries. I surfed stacks of info from the internet. Phew, it's hard yakka. Anyway, here's the lowdown. Law 1. Energy can't be made or destroyed, but heat energy can be used to power movement energy, and movement energy can turn into heat energy. Truth. That's fair dinkums. If I did some work, I'd have more movement energy, and this would make me feel more heat energy. So I best sit here with my Lager and save my energy. Burp. Heat energy powers can turn into movement energy. Law 2. Heat energy always moves from hot things to cold things, so heat from the sun is warming up my cold Lager. We'll talk about state in the blithering obvious. If heat went from cold places to hot places, my Lager would cool down in the sun. Well, that would be the day. I'm fair cooked already. Hot sun. Heat always moves in this direction. Cold beer. Law 3. You can't get colder than -273.16 Celsius, -459.67 Fahrenheit, otherwise known as absolute zero. The scientists say when something's this cold, it ain't got no heat energy. Lucky it doesn't get that cold in Oz. I do feel the cold, see? But Law 2 says that you need something colder for heat to go to, so you can't cool anything to absolute zero. Well, all this science has me zonked. I could use a piece of energy from this Bonzer family-sized chalky bar. Delish. Nowhere colder for heat to go. Absolute zero. Heat moves to something colder as temperature drops. We'll be taking a look at laws 2 and 3 in the next two chapters, but for now we'll stick to law 1. Did you know that a scientist who worked on the first law got his ideas from blood? Yes, it's true. Read on for the bloodthirsty details. Parable Science Hall of Fame. Julius Robert von Mayer, 1813 to 1878. Nationality, German. Ach mein Gott, I have caught an artery. Hold still or you will bleed to death. As he spoke, the young doctor turned white and his hands began to shake as he held a bowl to the sailor's brawny arm. The bowl was steadily filling with blood, bright red, glistening blood, the kind that squirts from the heart through the high-pressure arteries. But the sailor's face crinkled into a weak smile. It was a painful smile because the blood was still draining from his arm, and he was exhausted from fever. Don't you fret, Doc. Our blood always comes out this red in these parts. I don't understand it, mind, but there it is. With his mind racing, the doctor set down a bowl of blood. Then he bandaged the crewman's arm with a grubby strip of material to staunch the blood that was still trickling from his arm. In 1830, doctors like Mayer believed the best way to treat disease was to drain blood from their patients' veins. But when Julius tried to do this in Java, he found the blood was bright red, even in veins where it's usually dark red. Julius Mayer was about to make a great discovery. It nearly destroyed him. Julius was not a lucky person. He didn't do well at school, and he was expelled from university for joining a secret club that was frowned on by his teachers. Today's teachers are a bit more understanding, so you may escape being expelled for joining the horrible club. Mayer was allowed back into university the following year. He studied medicine and became a ship's doctor, and that's how he came to be in Java in 1830. Seeing the red blood got him thinking. Here's how Mayer might have made sense of the puzzle in letters to his best friend, his brother. Jakarta, Java, 1831. Dear Fritz, remember the red blood I mentioned in my last letter? I do, I can't stop thinking about it, and now I've got an idea. 1. Bright red blood contains oxygen. The body needs oxygen in order to live. That's why we breathe. Oxygen. 2. The blood in the sailor's veins was bright red with oxygen. Since veins carry blood back from the body, this means the sailor's body is using less oxygen than usual. 3. I think the body uses oxygen to keep warm. But when it's hot, like here, sorry about the sweat stains, the body needs less heat so it uses less oxygen. Yes, I think I've cracked it. What do you think? Your brother, Jules. More oxygen, less oxygen. Jakarta, Java, 1831. Hi, Fritz, it's me again. Don't know what's got into me, but I've suddenly had loads of wonderful new ideas. 1. I think the body needs food as well as oxygen to make heat. It's a bit like a fire that needs fuel and oxygen to burn properly. Food plus oxygen. 2. This means energy must switch from one form to another. Yes, I reckon energy must be stored in food and turned to heat and movement energy inside the body. Am I hot on the trail, or is my brain overheating? I can't wait to get home and tell everyone, your very excited bruv, Jules. Energy. Yippee! Leo was right not once but twice. He made not one but two brilliant breakthroughs. He figured how the body uses energy, and he got the idea for the first law of thermodynamics. Remember, it showed the link between heat and movement energy. Of course, all the other scientists were thrilled, and Jules became famous and lived happily ever after. Didn't he? Hooray! No! Excuse me, this is horrible science, not some sloppy, soppy little fairy tale. Mayer wrote an article and sent it to a science magazine, but they didn't reply. No one believed him because he hadn't done any experiments to prove his ideas. So Mayer studied science for months and months until he knew enough to rewrite the article in more scientific language. But by the time the article was published, other scientists had put forward the same idea. There were heated rows over who'd thought of the first law first. Bet you never knew. 1. One of the rival scientists was a Briton, James Joule, 1889. James's family was so rich he never had to go to school. He even had a top scientist, John Dalton, 1766-1834, as his very own personal teacher. And I'd like the next 3 weeks off, Dalton. Yes, certainly, Master James. You could ask your parents to let you off school and pay for your own teacher, and if you happen to be dreaming, then I'd even say yes. 2. James had a private lab for energy experiments. In 1833, he found out, by measuring the temperature of water turned by a paddle, that movement energy can be turned into heat energy. 3. Today, scientists measure energy in joules. 1 joule gives you enough energy to lift an apple 1 meter. Can you do this? Go on. Ugh, you can do it. Now back to miserable Mayer. Julius Mayer's luck hadn't turned. He fell in love and got married, but 5 of his 7 children died of disease. Revolution broke out in Germany, and Fritz supported the revolution, but Julius was arrested for opposing it. He was soon released, but fell out with his brother. Julius grew increasingly miserable about his lack of scientific success. One unhappy day, he decided to take his own life. He failed, but his family thought he was mad, and he spent 10 years locked in mental hospitals. I've just discovered the fourth law of thermodynamics. Don't tell anybody about the first three. It was only years later that scientists came to realize that the first law of thermodynamics was correct. At last, when Mayer was a broken old man, the Royal Society, Britain's top science club, gave him a gold medal. But talking about the first law, here's an experiment that shows it in action. Go on, give it a go. It's easy. Dare you discover the first law of thermodynamics? What you need? Scissors? A blob of blue tack or Play-Doh? Ruler? A biro? Some paper? Ordinary plain writing paper is best. This book. What you do? 1. Place the paper over the shape and trace round it. Draw in the fold line using the ruler. Strange. Trace. Cut out the shape you've drawn. Don't cut out the shape from your horrible science book, especially if it comes from your library. Fold one side of the shape along the line. Unfold the shape. 3. Stick the blue tack on a table and stick the pen in it so it's standing on end. Make sure the pen is upright. Use the ruler to check. 4. Turn the shape upside down and balance it on the point of the biro so that the sides point downward at about 35 degrees. Carefully does it. Mad pen. Balance. 5. That's what happens to the shape for a minute or two. Then place your hands on their sides on the table to make a circle around the biro. If your hands are cold, you need to rub them until they're warm. Heat. Totally bonkers. Wacko. What do you notice? A. The shape rocks backwards and forwards. B. The shape whizzes into the air. C. The shape moves around and then stops. When I put my hands near it, the shape moves around faster than before. Answer C. The shape is powered by heat energy. It might move at first because of droughts in the room or wobble as it balances on top of the pen, but it really gets going when the hot air rises off your hands. This proves the first law is right when it says that heat energy can make things move. But talking about heat, it just so happens that the next chapter is all about this cozy topic. Will you warm to it? Horrible heat. This chapter lets you into some sizzling heat secrets, including how the second law affects the entire universe and how an extremely important sausage changed the course of history. What's that? You don't remember what the second law says? Well, it's the one that says heat energy goes from a hot object to a cooler area. And actually, come to think of it, the second law actually sneaked into that experiment in the last chapter. In the experiment, heat energy passed from a hot area, your hot sticky hands, to a cooler area, the air. Yikes! And as I said, the second law has a huge effect on the whole universe. Take this nice hot cup of tea. Is my tea ready yet? Hot. The second law says all the time a cup of tea is losing heat energy. In other words, it's cooling down. If you blow on the tea, it will cool even faster. Your breath blows away the air warmed by the hot tea, and the heat energy flows more quickly into the cooler air. Scientific note, the greater the temperature difference between a hot and a cold area, the faster the heat will flow between them. In half an hour, the tea is disgustingly lukewarm. Oi, where's my bloomin' tea? In an hour, it's stone cold. Oh, yuck. The only way to make the tea hot is to heat it up again. In other words, to add more heat energy. And what's true for the tea is also true for everything in the entire universe. Yes, the second law says that everything, from galaxies to gravy, from hippos to hot water bottles, is forever cooling down. Your body is losing heat, and so is an alien starship on the other side of the cosmos. We're losing heat, Captain. It's that blasted second law again. And the only way to keep anything hot is to chuck in more heat energy. And that means you'd better eat your dad's revolting rice pudding and digest it and turn it into heat to replace the heat energy you lost today. And that Latin old second law has some even worse news for you on page 133. But first, it's time to find out a bit more about a real hot topic. Killer energy file. Name? Heat energy. 1. If you looked at the speck of dandruff through a super powerful microscope, yes, more powerful than any microscope in the world, you'd see the tiny atoms that make it up. 2. The atoms are wobbling. This movement is what we call heat energy, and the hotter the atoms are, the faster they wobble. With me so far? Wobble. Killer details. 1. At absolute zero, they can't move, not even an itsy-bitsy mini-wobble. The atoms have no heat energy at all. 2. Very low temperatures can preserve dead bodies forever. Page 34 will send a cold shiver down your spine. Not-so-hot theories. You can't expect scientists to grasp all the straightaway and early ideas about heat. We're definitely on the tepid side. Here's Swiss scientist Pierre Prévost, 1751 to 1839. Some people think that hot and cold are invisible substances. They call the cold substance frigoric. Piffle! It's obvious that cold is simply lack of heat. Oh yes, and a hot substance is called caloric. Of course, this caloric was a load of hot air, but Prévost wasn't proved wrong until American scientist Benjamin Thompson, Count Rumford, 1753 to 1813, took on a boring job. He worked as minister for war in Bavaria, Germany, and he was watching a cannon being bared by a drill. The cannon got very hot, and if you believed in caloric, you might think that the cannon would run out of the hot stuff after a while. But it didn't. So Rumford realized that heat can't be a substance. It must be a form of energy that was picked up from the rubbing of the drill, in the same way that rubbing your hands makes them feel warmer. In 1798, Rumford proudly announced his discovery at a meeting of the Royal Society, and no one took any notice. They must have been bored. Terribly tacky thermometers. The measurement of heat energy is called temperature. I hope you're suitably impressed by this fact. But early scientists had a problem measuring heat, as no one had got around to inventing a thermometer. After combing dozens of scientific junk shops, we've uncovered a selection of ancient thermometers. Ye old scientific junk shop. Let's hope your school equipment isn't this old, even if your science teacher might be. Airfield thermoscope invented by Italian genius Galileo Galilei, 1564 to 1632. Uses air and water to measure temperature. Albert Einstein's eyeballs, Galileo's skull, improved version devised by German scientist Otto von Guericke, 1602 to 1686. Isaac Newton's wig and teeth. Water-filled thermometer invented by French doctor Jean Ray in 1631. It wasn't much good at measuring below freezing. Can anyone think why? Some of the earliest mercury thermometers were made by German Daniel Fahrenheit, 1686 to 1736, in 1713. Mercury freezes at a very low temperature and boils at a very high temperature. Albert Einstein's brain. Dare you discover how to make your own thermoscope? What you need? Sticky tape, teaspoon, scissors, 3 glasses, a large blob of blue tack, a small plastic bottle, ideally no more than 30 milliliters with as small an opening as possible, a light-colored plastic drinking straw, food coloring. What you do? 1. Half fill 1 glass with water and add a few drops of food coloring. Stir well. 2. Half fill a second glass with ice from the freezer. Be careful not to touch the ice with your bare hands. 3. Half fill a third glass with hot water from the tap. Don't touch the water either. It could be scalding. 4. Stick the straw in the bottle and block up the rest of the opening with blue tack. Wrap sticky tape around the blue tack so no air can get into the bottle except through the straw. 5. Gently squeeze the bottle and turn it upside down so the end of the straw is in the colored water. Colored water will flow up the straw. Now stop squeezing the bottle and put it the right way up. You should see a band of colored water in the straw. 6. Place the bottle in the glass of ice and then in the hot water. What do you notice? A. The water in the straw goes up in the ice and down in the hot water. B. The water in the straw goes up in the hot water and down in the ice. See, the batter in the straw becomes lighter in the ice and darker in the hot batter. Answer, B. Remember those wobbling atoms on page 30? When you heat up the air in a bottle, the atoms have energy and try to move off in all directions. Think of a class of energetic kittens running outside at break time. The warm air atoms push up the straw and they push the batter up too. When the air is cold, the atoms have less heat energy so they don't want to go anywhere. Think of kids huddling together for warmth on a cold day. The pressure of the air pushing down on the straw from above pushes the batter level down. Bet you never knew. The plans of Galileo's thermoscope were amongst his papers when the great man died. Galileo left his papers to scientist Vincenzo Viviani, 1622-1703. But when Viviani died, his family thought the papers were worthless rubbish, so they sold them to a local sausage maker to wrap his bangers. Then another scientist ate one of the sausages and read the writing on the wrapper. He bought the entire stack of wrappers, including the designs for the thermoscope. And so it was that Galileo's great discoveries were saved, thanks to a sausage. Galileo's discoveries? Did they cost a packet? Yeah, a packet of sausages. Tricky temperature facts. 1. Scientists still had a problem. They had thermometers, but they couldn't agree on a scale to measure temperature. Scientists made up their own measurements, and this no doubt led to heated arguments. Lovely day. Yes, it must be 90 degrees. You idiot, it's 60 degrees. If it was 90 degrees, you'd melt. 2. The first widely used measure of temperature was invented by our pal, Daniel Fahrenheit. Can you guess what it was called? 3. Fahrenheit decided that the coldest temperature he could make by mixing chemicals in his lab was 0 degrees. This meant that matter froze at 32 degrees and the temperature of the human body was 96 degrees. That's 3 times 32 degrees. But Fahrenheit hadn't got it right. The body is around 98.6 degrees, so his carefully planned scale was wrong. Scientific note. He probably measured the heat of his armpit, and this was cooler than his mouth. Oh well, he meant no arm, and anyone could make a mistake in the heat of the moment. Arm very sorry. 4. Fahrenheit scale is now used in the USA, but the rest of the world uses a measurement invented by a Swedish scientist named Anders Celsius, 1701-1734, and sometimes called centigrade, but the official name is the Celsius scale after its inventor. What do you think? Ooh, that's really handy, Andy. Anders is the son of a professor of astronomy, and he grew up interested in maths and science. He loved exploring and went on 2 trips to the north of Finland. There he studied the northern lights and made observations that proved the Earth was slightly flattened at the North Pole. 5. Anders suggested a scale of 100 degrees with water boiling at 0 and ice melting at 100. Yes, you did read that right. Anders Celsius put his scale the wrong way around, and no one knows who reversed it. Oh well, I guess they had a measured approach to science. But talking about freezing, there's lots